Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Clint Martin, and Derek O'Connor. Hi, Derek.
Hiya, how are you doing? All right.
We're back. We're back in Austin. It's been 2 years since we were here before. We're back again. And as a track, Derek, are you a fan of the American track, the Austin track?
Yes, I am. I like that uphill start. I like that first bend and then into the S's. I think it works well.
Those S-bends are homage to basically Maggots, Becketts and so on at Silverstone. The rest of the track, Section 2 and Section 3, a bit high speed, some quite long straights, but a wee fiddly bit in between just to throw a spanner in the works. But overall, I think it's a good track, and we normally have decent races here. This particular weekend, the tyres that are going to be in use are going to be the C2, the C3 and the C4, the middle range of tyres. Now, unfortunately, Derek, the MotoGP that was here, I think actually last weekend or the weekend before, they were complaining that the track was very abrasive between track temperatures that we're expecting, which we'll get into in a second. But between that and the high abrasion of the track, it's not looking great for the middle set of tyres. Maybe we should have been here with a harder compound.
Well, other than it's going to be on tyre management again, whether you go for a one stop, two stop, or even a possible three stop race, you know, that's the sort of tactician's nightmare, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know whether it would be best to just make everybody have to do two stops and say, right, well, that's it. Or we just wind up with a race where people just come in and nothing much happens. I'm not entirely sure what's best in these situations. The bottom line is, I think we just need better tyres that will run at 100% for the time they've got them on the car until they just drop off of a cliff. But in the meantime, we're always going to have this tyre management nonsense going on, and it's not great. We do have a couple of support races over the weekend. We've got the W Series and the F4 USA Series is going to be here, so that might help the track rubber in. But track temperatures over the weekend, we're looking at Friday, 29 degrees, small chance of rain, less than 20%. As we move into Saturday, the wind's going to pick up a bit. Some showers possibly, it's still about 20%, and air temperature looking at 30 degrees. And as we move into Sunday, still 30 degrees is the air temperature, so track temperature is going to be up between 60, 65. Again, showers expected, 40% chance of that, and the winds will be gusting up to about 40 kilometres an hour. And our schedule for the weekend, now it is coming for the US, so P1 and P2 still happen today. We're about 2 hours away from P1. It's 5:30 to 6. P2's got to be 9 p.m. till 10 p.m. P3 tomorrow, it's 7 till 8 p.m. Qualifying's going to be a late one. It's going to be 10 p.m. till 11 p.m. So if you can stay awake all day, stay up for that one. And then the race is going to be on Sunday at 8 p.m. Derek, we're into the last part of the season. We've got 6 races to go. There's 150 points still up for grabs and 6 for fastest lap. And there's only 6 points between Max and Hamilton. They did speak to Max, and Max says he's just going to focus on their side of the fight. Is that the best Max can do? Because
yes.
And the reason I'm saying that is we will speak about when Mercedes have basically resurged, but can Red Bull do anything else? At this point in the season, these cars must be the last iteration of the car for the season. I can't see the teams putting any more development towards them. What can Red Bull actually try and win this championship?
Red Bull have got to have everything go their way. Now, that includes the look. They have got to have things fall in the right place for them if they're going to win it. If they make any mistakes, any little mistakes, Merck are going to capitalise. They are that close. They are on their heels. They're biting at them. Closer than anybody's been in second place for a long time.
It's not really been like this for about the past 7 years. Okay, we had Rosberg and Hamilton, but you're right, Derek. I mean, the other thing is Bottas and Perez have got to play such a big part in these last 6 races. We really can't discount them in any way, shape or form.
You've got to look at sort of Bottas and say he's more the weaker link of the two, because Perez has been guaranteed for next year in the Red Bull seat. And we know that Bottas is leading, but I think he still has to impress.
These last 6 races, we've had engine changes for a lot of the teams. We've got Vettel taking an engine change, possibly a 40-place grid drop this weekend for him. But surely reliability has also got to play a big part in these last races of the season. And I don't just mean somebody hitting somebody. If we take that out of the equation and we talk about an engine going pop, it could be catastrophic. It could kill a championship.
Yes.
We've seen it in the past, Hamilton,
yes.
Malaysia, and Rosberg won that season. But it could happen to any of these two drivers, and it would be catastrophic if the other guy wins. 6 points, we can talk about it being, okay, it's 6 fastest laps, it's a first and a second difference, but 25 or maybe even 30 by the time you take in, I mean, that's a lot of points to claw back if something does go pop. Yep.
Anything goes wrong for Red Bull, they've lost it. The only thing that Red Bull can do is go backwards. The pressure is all on Red Bull.
Yeah, Red Bull are definitely feeling the pressure. But let's talk about why they're in this situation. Keep in mind that Hamilton, in the past 10 races, has only won two of them. Russia, which he not so much lucked into, but the weather played its part, and Norris kind of threw it away. So let's talk about the last 10 races. He's only won the British Grand Prix, where him and Max had the coming together, and Russia, where weather played its part. It doesn't really feed into the story that there's only 6 points between them. And I think that kind of goes to show the number of times that these guys have actually won over the space of the season. That Red Bull, I mean, they should have been a couple of races ahead by now. And I know you keep saying it's obviously Red Bull's to lose, but
I haven't said it once this week.
Punctured tyre. We've got, I mean, to be fair, Hamilton was strong in the first few races. Bahrain, Portimao, Spain. And when they were in Imola, he came in second. And then it kind of failed to perform thereafter. And Red Bull got the bull by the horns, pardon the pun. But they made hay while the sun was shining. But I still don't think they made enough hay. We're in a situation, there's only 6 points between Max and Lewis. And, I mean, Max has led three times as many laps as what Lewis has, and still there's only 6 points in it. Is that a case of the other teammate has been performing, and therefore, in turn, Bottas has been taking points off of Max, which I don't think is the case, really. No, or is it more to do with the fact that the strength of the field, we've had other winners? How have Red Bull managed to let this, such a strong mid-season, slip away at them to only a six-point lead?
I think it's their consistency. I think it's their actual lack of consistency from Red Bull. They've done, yeah, if they're doing well, they do well. If things go wrong, they go wrong. And that's what I'm saying about the luck. They haven't had the little bit of luck where Lewis has looked into some points that he shouldn't have really looked into.
Yeah.
And he got them. And the balance just swung his way, and he managed to get that extra bit of momentum and get them extra points that's brought him back. We're talking about this sort of the driver's construct. We're not even mentioning the actual constructors' championship, which I feel Red Bull are really doing badly at. You know, again, they're in the second place where Merck have looked into being in first, you see. So
I think part of the problem has been that Perez hasn't been pulling his weight, in the sense that if Max hasn't won the race, Perez, okay, Baku, but out with that, Perez isn't really stopping Merck getting the points or Lewis getting the points when Max has performed poorly. Not that he's performed poorly in places, but between Imola, Silverstone and Baku, there's 75 points that have went a-begging. And yes, unfortunately, since Silverstone, for Red Bull's detriment, since Silverstone, Mercedes put an aero package on that car, and they'd been struggling with a troublesome rear end. And what had actually happened is that aero package has helped improve the handling, the performance and the setup of the car, to the point that Red Bull have turned around and says, what are you guys up to with your engine? You guys are going faster. You're not allowed to upgrade it. Me, 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 me. And the simple fact is that the aero package is working better, so they don't have to put as much wing on the car. So now the car's going faster. It's not that Merck have wheeled out a sneaky engine upgrade as per what Ferrari did. It's just a simple fact that the aero that they put on at Silverstone is starting to pay dividends now. And unless Red Bull have got something up their sleeve, Merck are in the ascendancy at the moment. We've seen it for all the dry practice sessions for the past 5-6 races, that when it is dry, Merck are the ones at the top of the timesheet, and Red Bull have lost that impetus that they had in the middle of the season, that 5-6 races from Monaco all the way through up until the end of the season, where they were able to actually get the points on the board, and it made it look like Red Bull were going to actually come through and win this championship. But now it's kind of swung back the other way, and I don't know whether it's a case of Mercedes have just knuckled down in the right areas in the right departments, but couple that with Bottas and Hamilton on your side, I think that's really what's pushing Mercedes forward. But I mean, with the 6 races coming up, the only one that can maybe be the banana skin, I think, for Mercedes is going to be Mexico with the high altitude. We know the engine doesn't go well there. That's about the only one. Maybe Brazil, we can argue a point for it there, but the rest of them, we've got 2 races we've never been to, they're unknowns, but the rest really feels like Merck in the ascendancy, and we're not going to have the input of, let's be honest, wet weather, maybe at Brazil, but the last three we should have dry races. And at this moment in time, I'm going to struggle to actually see Max is going to take the championship, and certainly the constructors. I think Merck have now got to a point, they're too strong for Red Bull to do anything about it. It's too late in the day.
They have a chance to break the monopoly of the Mercs, but if they don't pull it together, it's something they've done wrong. I don't think it's something somebody else has done better.
Yeah,
I think it's something they will have done wrong, because I think it'll be nip and tuck all the way to the end if they all perform right. But if the little bit of luck that you need, the little bit of the rub of the green that you need, doesn't go the way Red Bull, doesn't go the way of Max, it will be theirs to lose, and they will have lost it because of that, not because of anything miraculously that Merck have done. I think Merck have just ideal opportunists, and we'll be sitting there hunting from behind, and we'll take every opportunity that presents itself.
Let me ask you this, Derek. These two teams have obviously been in a championship fight. Right at the start of the season, Merck says, look, we've done a wee bit with the car, but we're not planning on doing big upgrades. Maybe Red Bull have thrown a bit more at it to try and get the drivers' championship for Max. But do you think next season it will be detrimental to both these teams? We know that they don't have the aero wind tunnel time as the teams behind them, but also prepping for the 2022 car, surely that has to be a priority. It's difficult to balance the two, but could you see next season Merck and Red Bull maybe struggling the first few races to try and get a grip?
I think maybe we will see other teams nearer.
Yep.
I'm not saying they will struggle, but I think other teams have concentrated more on next year's car than this year's reboot sort of thing. And I think there was a lot of stuff done beforehand, and I think they were ready for next year's car this year, but then they had to wait another, so they've had a lot longer to be ready for this.
I think you're right, Derek. I think what we'll be looking at the start of next season is a field that should be a lot closer together. The other thing I want to talk about, because I think this will have a bit of a say in the championship of where it actually winds up, but we've got to talk about Ferrari and McLaren. Could you see maybe a Leclerc or a Norris getting in the way of these guys, not tripping over them, but I mean actually taking serious points off of them at the up-and-coming six races? We've seen the potential in the past, but the next six races, I'm sure that McLaren and Ferrari are still scrambling A for third in the championship. There's only 7 points between them. But Norris has still got to be looking for his first win.
Yes, and I think they will be all out to try and get one of these wins. This one especially, McLaren would love to take the American race because of their sort of links with America now that they have. I think we could be in for a very interesting week. We'll know more at sort of half five, 11 o'clock tonight, once we've seen first and second practice sort of thing. I'm saying, yes, there could be a resurgence. I think Ferrari are doing all right as well.
Ferrari are doing okay, but you know that championship, I think McLaren have lit a wee third place to Ferrari time and time again. They have a bad result, they have a bad weekend, and it swings back. They get a big gap, maybe, I think it was 28 points before the last weekend, and then they blew it. They blew their chance in Turkey, and back comes Ferrari. Just 7 points for that battle for third. And Ferrari have not been a third place team car this season. They don't have a win under the belt. They don't have any of the things that have been happening to McLaren. McLaren and Lando Norris's performance in Russia. We've not seen any of that from Ferrari. There's been the odd good performance in qualifying. They take a fourth in qualifying and they're like, dancer. Whereas McLaren, we've been talking about pole positions and wins. And therefore, I think McLaren have tripped themselves up in a couple of situations. If they had actually dealt with Russia properly, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it the way we are. I think they would have went to Turkey with their heads in the right place, and they would have came away with a better result than they actually had there. And again, the last six races of the season, a couple of unknowns, but McLaren will go well in Brazil. And I think actually, they're going to struggle. Any of these teams are going to struggle with a Merck engine in Mexico, mainly because of the altitude. But those last three races of the season are up for grabs. That's pretty much it, folks. That's kind of all the news for the weekend. We're a wee bit behind, obviously, in the sense that P1, P2 still to happen. So we're not entirely sure what that's going to show. But again, if it's dry conditions, I firmly suspect that the Mercs are going to be shown at the front of the field. Red Bull will be in close chase. And hopefully it'll be a good race over the space of the weekend. Right, folks, well, you can join us after the qualifying tomorrow, which will be obviously a late one for us, but ideally we'll have it posted by midnight or there or thereabouts. You can join us then for that and join us actually after the race on Sunday for the podcast. Derek, there's nothing else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe. Let's all enjoy it out there.
This has been a Beardercat production for DNF1.